in the coming days.
All right. Any questions for Tyrell on that topic? If not, we'll move on to case reallocation, the rebate. For those of you who don't know, and if I have this correct, the last few years, we got a case rebate based on, I believe it's what the operator sells for Pepsi product. And that was going to the program, the agency, in the last few years, specifically because of COVID and the shutdown. We've been reallocating those funds to the operators that run those facilities where those rebates came from. So we've done a committee vote to do just that, to reallocate the funds to the operator as opposed to the agency. Do I have that correct?
Yep, that's correct. And so just to kind of piggyback off of that, this is something in which we found, you know, through budget, we can continue to allow. Obviously, it should be an annual vote just to ensure that we can maintain our commitment. But yes, that is absolutely correct. This would apply to those who have over-the-counters or self-fill. And, you know, in past, we were receiving those case rebates, but we can certainly reallocate should the committee want to vote to do that for this year.
And again, as Tyrell said, it being a yearly vote, just in case we're not in a position to reallocate those funds for whatever reason, but I agree we're in a position to do that now. So if somebody from the committee would like to make a motion to reallocate those funds for the case rebate to the operator, I'd be welcome to entertain it. Unless you don't want to, then.
I, Brandy, make a motion to disperse the rebates to the operator again.
Can I get a second?
Frank, second.
All right, I got a motion by Brandy, seconded by Frank, to reallocate the case rebate funds back to the operators of the over-the-counter and self-fill machines. Any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. Any abstentions? And the motion carries. That brings us to the 2023 program highlights.
All right, so you know, that's just something I always wanted to start to add to our agenda, but I kind of just wanted to highlight you all and acknowledge all in what you are doing and have done, and your ability to transition out of what seemed a bit rocky coming out of COVID to now kind of finding what I believe is your new niche and being accepted to that, and also you know, being eager to strengthen your new opportunities. A lot of you guys have picked up, Keith and yourself, you know, coming out of a cafeteria to now this new world of micro market partnerships and now this vending route and so forth. You know, it takes a lot to change what so many of you have known to be norm, but I just kind of wanted to give my hats off to all of you, even those that have existing operations, Rich, you know, that just, Frank, you know, who have endured these obstacles of COVID and, you know, remained vested into doing the best that you can and understanding that there's been changes, but kind of getting over those hurdles and planning your new foundation post-COVID. So, you know, I'm very happy with all of you and your dedication, Sovi, Angel, all of you guys, Brandy, everyone. I mean, I don't want to individualize Tony, whatever. Everyone. I really am. I'm just happy. I'm pleased. You guys, you know, are giving us the best version of you, and in turn, you know, we're trying to do the best for you all and providing opportunities, either present or future opportunities that will, you know, obviously make your careers within our program something that you can look back in years to come and be proud of being part of. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. We're doing what we're doing. And, you know, just hopefully things align and be able to satisfy all of your interests and needs. So, thank you. You know, hats off to you all. That's essentially my highlight. I don't want to single anyone out. It's just collectively when I'm looking back at as to where we picked up and just had conversations. In fact, I had a conversation with Ed via text recently, and you know, he was just, you know, acknowledging the fact that he was happy that the program is still, you know, doing well in spite of what, you know, we endured, obviously everyone in the country, but the fact that we were able to rebound and stick, have something to continue to provide you all with is a true testament of just how well we're doing from an administrative standpoint. Even, you know, Phil Reps, you all, Carol, Tracy, obviously, just hats off to all of you. You know, we're doing good. Obviously there's always room for tightening it up, but I think the biggest picture is just kind of still looking down the aisle and seeing if there's anything else that we can grab in which we feel we can, you know, obviously do well in and be able to maximize good profit out of. So our eyes remain open, as everyone else's, and, you know, stay tuned. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what it is. Just keep doing what you're doing, and then maybe something, you know, better may come across or that you find better, and can, you know, expand your opportunity. So good job to you all.
Thank you. The next agenda item, I guess I can touch on it. It's communication, but this was meant to follow our effective communication presentation, which we're going to receive shortly. But there was just some concern with, you know, communication as far as operators not getting some information. I've always felt that email is an effective route of communication, and some people may miss emails, and I was hoping with this presentation we might have gotten some insight on that and how to effectively communicate. I will say that each operator should be communicating with their field reps on a regular basis. I do with mine. If you were to miss an opportunity for some reason because you missed an email, that shouldn't be your sole way of communication. When something, you know, with my field rep, I know when something's coming down the pipeline, if something's up for grabs, if something's been taken, you should have these conversations with your field rep. So you're not missing anything. You shouldn't be relying on an email that went to spam or you deleted it by mistake. The other thing is if you have a preferred route of communication, you know, Tyrell, I don't know if you would want to entertain that through the field reps. Like if somebody would prefer a phone call rather than an email, if an opportunity arises, that could be a way to go. Me personally, I get enough phone calls. I don't need an extra phone call. I'd rather the email, but that's just me. Everyone else is different. If they're having trouble receiving their communication, I would just, you know, point out that your field rep is your first route, as far as I'm concerned, to make sure you're not missing that any of those information, you know, information that goes out. Tyrell, like when you send out, if there is an opportunity, sometimes you're just gauging the waters, like if anyone's interested, and then it would, I'm assuming it would go to the next step. Like if you had to utilize the promote transfer list, I'm pretty sure you do that via phone call. Like if you have to use the list.
Correct. I think, you know, yeah, and so I'll double back on that, definitely. Just to add context to that, you know, obviously we're now in 2023. We've done things, I date back when we used to mail in the physical, you know, actual notices. I was the one licking envelopes, so I know. You know, we'd mail the notices and then it would be the phone call. Fast forward, then email developed, and then suddenly majority of the operators elected their communication in email. Well, now, as part of a way to just kind of restructure our communication agency-wide, our program in specific will be transitioning to having work cell phones. So with that means now, should anyone who doesn't check their emails daily choose to maybe communicate or have things communicated to them maybe via text, we can do that now. You know, we're going to step away from the personal line. So once all of the field reps get their cell phones, they may have them, I'm not certain, I'll double check. I'm going to send an email out to include my new work cell phone as well. And so those communications can now transition, if an operator chooses that method as a better method of communication, a text message and communication. What I will say is, yes, when we do any promotion to transfers, obviously there's always the initial email gauging out who has interest, and then followed by that, whoever states they have interest, then that's when the promotion and transfer list will come along. I would also say that please keep in mind that if you're not receiving emails, then it may be on your end. And the reason why I'm almost 1,000% confident is because I'm using the same email string line that I use for everyone. When I send everyone a group email in which majority responds, dating back to would you like whatever funds or whatever we were doing, and I got 100% response, I know for certain that the email is going to you. When I send you guys emails, I'm not individually sending you emails. I'm not typing your name. I'm legit going from the last group email, and I'm putting in the new context and resending. So obviously with technology, there's always hiccups. Things go in spam. Things may get hung up in the World Wide Web. I'm not certain. However, if there's any concerns on any operator's end and not receiving information, I would strongly suggest, number one, you relay to your operator an alternative method of communication when receiving whatever various communications in which the agency may be sending out, to ensure that you receive them. And again, with field reps now having cell phones, Tracy will have one, and myself, text message seems to be the thing. That might be something that, you know, we can maybe say, check your email. This was sent, you know, via text. And then this way you can say, didn't receive it. You know, because there's certain things that you're just not going to be able to respond through text or receive through text. But when we're talking about subjects of communication and being effective, you're absolutely right. I think we need to open up the doors to offering additional manners in which we are all comfortable using. And that may very well be the text message route. So please look out for that email in the days coming of operators, including myself and Tracy's phone number, so we can kind of transition off of our personal lines phones into work-related. Because truth be told, all state business should be on state.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but I don't have email, and I wanted you to call me, Tyrell. You have my number.
Yeah, so we'll call you, Adam. No worries, man. That's just the method in which you should choose, and we got that down, so we'll make sure we communicate via phone.
Okay.
All right. So, but yeah, I think that's just something that going forward opens up another line of communication, I guess is my point.
Perfect. And like I said, I was hoping we would use this agenda item to, in conclusion of our presentation, but it got a little flip-flop. But does anyone, while we're on the communication topic, have anything on it at this point? We can always circle back after the presentation.
This is right. Frank. I have one comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
A fellow operator said they struggle with this, and it's a struggle that I've had too in the past years, is the email that goes out that has a waiver and an application for promotion to transfer and your vacation and all that. There's just so many attachments, and because we're legally blind, it's like trying to find the right attachment to click on, because the, I don't know if you see this on a normal person's computer, but because my font is maxed out, I get the file name is like two letters and then dot dot dot. So it's like trying to figure out what the proper, it's just a hassle to try and go through them all, is kind of what I'm getting at. I don't know what the resolution is, but just wanted to bring it to your attention.
All right, so I mean, there's a couple things we can do with that. For those who would prefer the emails being separated, we could send them out separate, you know, acknowledging which each, you know, each attachment is. For those that it's not an issue, we'll continue that. And I think that's where this falls back into the lines of communications. You know, don't wait years and time to, you know, obviously acknowledge the concerns. Bring them right up, and so we can make that corrective change. I can understand that. You know, everyone has a different visual acuity, so therefore I completely respect that. That's our purpose, that's our position as an agency, is to ensure that whatever we're providing you is accessible. So if there's any accessibility issues, and anyone on this call, which we have just about, I believe, 90% attendance, which is good, you know, shoot myself or shoot your field rep an email as to your preferred communications going forward, and we'll update that list in the manner in which, you know, certain things that you would prefer, in what manner you would prefer that in. So that's all good stuff, and I appreciate that, Frank.
Anyone else? All right, then we'll move on to operator accountability.
All right. Let's touch on that really quick. So with that, I just wanted to just kind of double back, you know, just as a reminder, you know, when you guys are running your facilities, you know, just it's important to remember that you're accountable not just only for your business, but the business in which you do, you know, your day-to-day roles and responsibilities, and, you know, maintaining your operation, and that includes paying your taxes on time, you know, maintaining your health insurance payments, and your retirement payments, and thus far, it's important, not only in that area, but also I kind of want to touch on your role in this program. Yes, you guys are entrepreneurial operators, but you all serve. You are all part of a program. You're all part of, you know, legislation, federal law, and which gives you the first right to these opportunities. Part of that is, you know, the committee, and I'm kind of struggling with, or frustrated with, the fact that every year I find myself almost begging people to be part of a committee. You know, this is your committee. This is a statewide committee of blind vendors. This is not our agency committee, and, you know, a lot of the good things that have occurred in this program have been voted on by committee members. I can honestly say there's probably 7 in rotation members within this program that are constantly on the committee. No one from the administration end should have to beg operators to do their part in pushing this program, pushing this opportunity along the lines. No one should have to do that. This is, you know, again, your committee, you guys have equal yoke in decision making, and I just think it's important that, you know, for some of you who haven't served on the committee in some time, that you strongly consider doing so to ensure that you all have a fair voice in conversation, in voting on important topics. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, and let you all know, as well as you guys are doing in your businesses, it is important to serve on the committee to have a voice, because at the end of the day, I don't think anybody just wants the administration to be the decision maker, even though I think historically and statistically we've been on one accord for many, many years. So I don't anticipate that to ever change, but I just want you guys to feel included, and it's your right through regulation. So just wanted to add that.
I would agree, just to touch on that also. You know, as Tyrell said, it is our committee, it is our program, it's this whole thing is for us. So if you have ideas and thoughts about, you know, how things should be moving forward, especially because we're in uncertain territory still, you know, we're coming out of this pandemic and trying to re-identify who we are. So if you have ideas, obviously we already have our slate of nominees, but like in the future, you know, it is the same people, and, you know, you could be sitting there on the sidelines saying, well, it's the same people making the same decisions. Well, it wouldn't be if you got yourself involved. So just keep that in mind moving forward. It's great when we can have an election, you know, where, you know, it's not great to have an odd man out, but at the same time, it's nice that there's enough people where we have to have an election and not just an appointed committee, if you will. So keep that in mind. It's all important to hear everyone's voices and have yourself heard. So awesome. I would agree with that.
Keith, I believe we have Terry in the waiting room. Want to bring him in now? I could bring him in.
Yeah, that'd be great, just to not necessarily waste his time with our banter, but we can go ahead with the communication, and then, you know, so we'll just suspend our agenda and move forward with the effective communication.
There he is, the man of the hour. There he is.
Is he on?
Can you hear me?
I can hear
you. Yep, you gotcha. All right. So, for those that don't know Terry Smith, he's from the National Association of Blind Merchants. He is also one of the national advocates for a lot of things, Randolph Shepherd. If you guys haven't been aware, him and Nikki Gakos do a monthly podcast. It's called We Are Randolph Shepherd. It's a wealth of information. I listen through Spotify. You can listen through anywhere you listen to podcasts. But if you want to know about what's going on nationally with Randolph Shepherd in our programs in general and the changes that are being faced nationally, it's great to listen to. And you can, you know, you can go back to the I don't know what season you're on now, if it's two or three, but you can go back to the beginning and still get a ton of information, even if it's not, you know, even if it's from a year ago. So I just want to thank Terry and Nikki for what they do for us nationally, and the fact that you're here today to put a presentation on for us and taking out a time out of your busy schedule with other meetings. So thank you, Terry, for being here, and you can take it away if you'd like.
Okay, what's our time look like? Where are we? How much time do I have?
You can go as long or as little as you'd like. You know, if 45 works for you, we have time. Or are you pressed for time? Do you have too much?
No. I'm good. I didn't want to get sidetracked because I was wanting to give. I think I was asked to do a presentation on effective communications, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And I wanted to start with that.
Yeah, if you wanted to speak on the effect of communication, and then if you wanted to open it up for question and answers, like you mentioned before, I don't know if you'll get any, but you know, or if you wanted to give like a national update, so I'll let you judge your time.
But, yeah, that's what I thought. I'd start out with just hitting on a couple of things nationally, and then I'll jump into the effective communications. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to be here as part of your annual training conference. I've got to do this a few times for you guys, and I'm glad you're not too tired of me that you invite me back. Thank you for the plug on the We Are Randolph Shepherd podcast. We just finished episode 18. We started out saying season one, episode whatever, but since it goes every month, we changed it up, and we just finished episode 18, and episode 19 will drop on October the 1st, and it will be the Blitz. We started doing every third month is the Blitz. You remember we used to send that out, and it'd be 12 or 13 pages, and we decided that every third episode of the We Are Randolph Shepherd podcast will now be the Blitz, which is an update on everything going on Randolph Shepherd. So if you don't listen to any of the others, you know, at least listen to that one. Do not tune in if you're expecting to get any very good football picks, because we are terrible at making football picks. And so we did make our picks in the last episode. We have a little fun to start with before we get down to serious business about the Randolph Shepherd stuff, and which I think a lot of people have enjoyed us doing that. And they say they've learned a lot about us that they didn't know. Everybody knows us as the Randolph Shepherd guys, but you know there's other parts of our lives, and people getting to know us has sort of been pretty cool. So just to update you on a few things, I'm not going to go into a full-scale national report, but want to update you, you know, specifically on what's happening in the healthy vending arena, because this could have impact on you guys. You know that we reported this back early in the year, that the White House was contemplating an executive order that would require 75% healthy items in all vending machines on federal property. And Nikki and I had a call with the White House policy people over there about that. We've had multiple calls with the Center for Disease Control about that. And we had at the NAMA conference show in Atlanta in May, I guess that was. We actually had the CDC come over and talk to us when we did our pre-conference training. We did a Tuesday afternoon, like 1 until 4 Randolph-Shepard training, and the CDC came over. We introduced them to the folks from NAMA, National Automated Merchandising Association, which was a good connection to make because they NAMA has sort of picked up on a lot of the negotiations for that executive order. And I mean, the executive order right now doesn't seem to have much traction, but CDC is still pressing forward to get some kind of mandates in place for healthy vending. And we can argue all we want about the logic of healthy vending. All of us know that very few Americans are in federal buildings eating out of a snack machine, and the impact of having healthy food items in the vending machines is going to have no impact whatsoever on the overall health of this nation. We also can argue that having healthy vending in the absence of other programs, such as health, workout exercise opportunities and incentives to maintain good health and that kind of thing, without all those other things, it's almost unfair that they're picking on blind vendors. We can have all those arguments, and we can talk about that all we want, but the bottom line is they are determined to do something along the lines of healthy vending. So the latest sort of seems to be the area they are backing off of the 75%, which is good. Now, we're just talking federal property here. But what they have sort of unofficially agreed to is to go with what they call the 7 model, which is the planogram where if you're looking at a vending machine, the top row would be all healthy items. And then from the top right to the bottom left, diagonally, those would be healthy items. So if you look at it, the healthy items would make the number 7. They considered the T, which have been the top and the middle rows, but I think they're going toward the 7. That amounts to 33% of the machines having to contain healthy items. Now, I don't know that there's been any kind of agreement on exactly what constitutes a healthy item, okay? These are, at least an agreement in principle that they can live with that. That is really quite a concession on their part to come that far from 75% down to 33%. I think our vendors, for the most part, can live with the 30% healthy. I know that in Tennessee, back years ago, the governor put in an executive order requiring, I think it was 25% at the time, and it's running 30 to 35% last I checked. So they were able to do okay with that. So hopefully the 33% will be a good thing that our guys can live with. And we can put this behind us and make those folks happy. Also wanted to let you know that Nikki and I just got off a call, a Zoom meeting with the folks from Ability One and Source America. As you know, the relationship between Ability One, which is the national program they work on government contracts and they employ people with disabilities, and they have been an arch enemy of ours for years and years and years, until we finally have sort of worked through all of that on the military dining contracts, and I think everybody agrees that our priority applies, and so we sort of have resolved that and made peace, they're now interested in really getting and developing a true partnership and working with Randolph Shepard, particularly on these large military contracts. And we are in preliminary conversations. It's almost scary to think that, you fought somebody for all these years and that you're actually gonna start jumping in bed with the enemy, so to speak. but we are at least exploring those conversations, and hopefully they'll lead somewhere.